Whatever, Houston, as soon as we're in attitude enough for a good picture, we'll be ready to start the PAO event. Whatever, Houston, we have good KU down now. We're ready for you to select your PAO event video downlink.
Okay, Chris, let us know when you got it.
And John, we have the three of you in Space Hab, nice and clear and steady.
Okay, we're ready to proceed.
ABC, this is Houston. Please call Endeavour for a voice check.
Hello, Endeavour, this is ABC. Do you hear me? Yes, I do, John. I've got you loud and clear. I'm John Foster, commander of the Space Shuttle Endeavour, and we're talking to you from about 180 miles up in space, just crossing over Central America right now. And with me, I have three of the crew members, three of the six crew members on Endeavour. There's Dan Bush from New York, and of course, you know Andy Thomas from South Australia. I'd just like to tell you that we've had a very busy and productive 5 days on orbit here, and Andy has just done an outstanding, tremendous job as payload commander for all the experiments here in the space lab that you see around us. We really have two parts to this flight. One is a technology demonstration flight, where we deployed an incredible antenna, and Andy had a part in recording the data for that, and also a small satellite test unit, which Andy also participated in data takes on that. And the other part, the major part, has been microgravity science, and Andy can go into quite some detail on all the experiments here that are going on in the space lab.
Well, Andy, if I could talk to you, from Adelaide. I wonder if you could tell us, Andy, what it was like flying over Australia and in particular over your home city.
It was great. We flew over South Australia about 20 minutes ago, and the sun was setting, and it was shining on the Gulf there, and I could see the outline of the coast, and I could make out the city of Adelaide. It was really an amazing sight to fly over it.
How much detail could you see?
There's a good bit of cloud cover which clouded over a lot of it, but I could see the outline of Port Adelaide and Outer Harbour quite clearly, and I could see some of the South Coast beaches quite clearly as a white line. We're about 180 miles up, though, so it's hard to see, and we're moving very quickly, too. We only had the view for a couple of minutes before it was gone.
Now, Andy, you, I believe, see 16 sunrises and sunsets every day. What do they look like?
Yeah, that's correct. We circle the world, the entire globe, every 90 minutes. And so we get a sunrise and sunset every 90 minutes, and 45 minutes of darkness and 45 minutes of daylight. And they're really spectacular from orbit. They're very sudden. The sun goes quite quickly. But you see some breathtaking colors of reds and blues as it sets. And then in the morning, you see this brilliant white light of the sun as it shines through the atmosphere and then bursts out. It's an impressive flight.
With weightlessness in the cabin there, how difficult is it to move around? And is your boomerang safe?
I see my boomerang is safe. It's stowed somewhere where I can't get to it. Moving around is very easy. In fact, it's a little bit too easy. You have to be careful because you can end up moving too quickly and bouncing into things. I will demonstrate.
From behind you.
Try doing that in there.
That's a wonderful sight, Andy. A lot of young Australians are watching you, Andy. What chance do you think they have of becoming members of space? Or what chance do you think of NASA allowing an Australian to get involved as a payload master with an Australian payload?
Things like that can happen and are happening. NASA has international collaborations with other countries as part of the International Space Station venture, and there's no reason why Australia also couldn't participate in some way. For people who wish to become astronauts and to fly in space, the key is to get a good education, and usually in engineering or science or medicine or some field like that for which NASA has requirements.
Well, I understand you've just had your breakfast. What was on the NASA menu this morning?
I had granola with blueberries, some scrambled eggs, a breakfast roll, some juice, and some coffee. I must say I'm eating very well here. In fact, I'm eating better here than I do on Earth.
All right. Thank you very much, Andy Thomas. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you bon voyage, and we hope to see you safe back on Earth, and particularly in Adelaide soon.
Thank you very much for the greetings, and my greetings to everyone in Adelaide, and I look forward to visiting soon as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, there you go.
Adrian.
Fine, how do you hear me?
Say again?
Endeavour, this is Channel 9 in Melbourne. How do you hear me?
We've got you loud and clear, Channel 9. Welcome aboard.
Andy, thank you very much. Congratulations. Was it worth all those years of training, Andy?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a ball. I'm up here with a couple of the crew members. I'd like to introduce them. To my right here is Colonel John Casper, the commander of FTS-77 of this mission. And behind him is Dan Bursch, Mission Specialist Number 2 from New York.
Now, Andy, it looks like you're going out to play a game of golf.
No, we're just dressing comfortably. Golf would be a problem up here.
Now, if you let go of the side there, what would happen? Would you float away?
Stand by, we'll demonstrate. Guy doing that on Earth.
Have you been able to see your hometown of Adelaide yet?
Yeah, we've flown over a couple of times. There's been very extensive cloud cover, but about half an hour we flew over and the clouds were clear enough that I could make out the city and the coastline. Of course, we're pretty high up, but nearly 180 miles, and we're travelling very fast at about 17,500 miles an hour, so it doesn't take long before it's out of view, but I've got a good view of it and hopefully some good pictures.
Andy, can I ask you, this is your first mission. Tell me about flying in space.
Oh, flying in space is an amazing experience. You know, we launched on Sunday, and I think I've just had one series of breathtaking experiences after another since that launch. The launch itself was just a wonderful thing to go through. It was an incredible ride, climbing up through the atmosphere and watching the ground recede in the distance and passing through the clouds, getting higher and higher up into the darkness. It was really a great ride. And then the first look out the window after we reached orbit, where you see the blue Earth, and you see the curvature of the Earth, is a grand sight. I recommend it to anybody.
Commander or Dan, can I ask you, you've done missions before, but is it still a buzz? Is it still magic?
Absolutely, it is still magic. I just want to say that although this is Andy's first flight, you would never know he's a rookie. He just jumped right in and went to work and looked like an experienced hand. He's done just a fantastic job.
Can you tell me what sunset or a sunrise is like from space?
Well, as you may know, we do have a sunrise or sunset every 45 minutes. And when you do happen to have a minute to look out the window and watch it, it occurs very rapidly within just a few, probably less than a minute when you first see the blues. And what's amazing is that you see the colors. There's actually layers in the atmosphere, different colors of blue. And then to dark blue, and then finally to the darkest part of space. So it's just an absolutely incredible sight, and it's something that you can never get too much of. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you, Dan. Andy, what about, is your main job over now that you've actually tried the antenna out in space? What do you do now, just play the guitar?
No, I don't have a guitar out here, unfortunately. We've got plenty to do. We've got a whole host of experiments around us in this module here. We've got some more flight operations with the satellite test unit we deployed 2 days ago. We're going to be very busy over the next week or so.
Have you got your boomerang?
It's stowed on board somewhere along with the other artifacts that I brought. It's in a part where I can't access it, though, so I can't get to it and show it to you, but trust me, it's on board safely, and it'll be coming back with me.
All right, what are you eating? Do you eat pills and capsules, or do you eat real food?
No, we eat real food. The food we have is freeze-dried food, much like you might have on a camping trip. It's pretty good quality. We're eating well. We've got a variety of foods and different menus for each day. I think we're all eating very well, as a matter of fact.
Okay, I'm told that we have to go. I think I'm not sure who's paying for this call, but congratulations, gentlemen, and travel safely.
Thank you very much. Greetings to you all.
Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you, Channel 9. ABC Radio, please call Endeavor for a voice check.
Endeavor, this is ABC. How do you hear me?
Good morning, ABC. This is Endeavor. Is that you on board loud and clear?
Are we ready for questions?
I'm ready to go to you. This is Andy Thomas.
Okay. Andy Thomas, where are you now? What can you see?
Well, right now, we're in a night pass. We're somewhere, I believe, over the Atlantic Ocean. So I can't see much out the viewports. I'll just have a look here. No, it's too dark. I can't see anything.
Does anything surprise you out there? Do you see things you hadn't expected?
Yeah, one of the things I saw last night was, you look down on the earth, you can see thunderstorms very clearly. They're an amazing sight to see the lightning. But another thing you can see that is really interesting is to see meteors entering the earth. But unlike being on the ground up here, we're looking down on them and we can see shooting stars going down into the atmosphere.
And can you describe what space looks like and what the earth looks like from where you are and how you felt when you saw it for the first time as a whole ball?
Well, that happened on Sunday, just after the launch, about 8.5 minutes after we left the launch pad. We'd accelerated to full velocity, the engine shut down, and I got out of my seat to take some photographs, and I looked out the overhead window back at where we'd been, and it was an amazing sight of seeing the blue earth, a thin white band of atmosphere, and this blackness of space above it. It was really a beautiful sight, though. I mean, it was breathtaking, one of the best sights I've ever seen.
But I guess does it make you feel that the Earth is very small and vulnerable? I mean, what else did you think?
One of the things you notice when you look at the Earth is you see things like forest fires and so on, and you realize that fires can be very damaging because they leave plumes of smoke that go for hundreds and hundreds of miles and contaminating atmosphere. And you realize that some of these kinds of things that can be quite risky to the environment.
What do you do? I mean, you're there to conduct some experiments, but how do you keep active? What sort of food do you eat? I mean, what sort of a life is it being an astronaut in the middle of space?
Well, it's a busy time. It's a lot of fun, but it's very busy. We get up, we have some time to wash, to clean, to brush our teeth, and shave, and so on. Then we have breakfast. The food we eat is kind of standard food like you might find on a camping trip, freeze-dried food, pre-packaged food. It's very good. We rehydrate it. It's very tasty, very hot, very filling. Then we start our flight plan activities for each day, and that keeps us busy all through the day with a meal break. And then at the end of the day, we stow some equipment, maybe write a few letters, take some photographs, enjoy the view, and then hang a sleeping bag somewhere and crawl into it and go to sleep. Each day has been very busy. I've been eating well, sleeping well, and feeling good.
Is there, in a funny way, a sense of impotence, though? I mean, you can hardly sort of stop the ship, can you, or even change its direction?
Well, we wouldn't want to stop it or change its direction. That would be bad. But, no, we have a lot of control. This vessel flies very well. It has a control system on it that keeps the attitude under control, a very sophisticated control system. If the need arose that we had to return to Earth quickly, we could do that. We could do a deorbit burn quite quickly and come back to any one of a number of emergency landing sites around the world. So no, I feel very comfortable up here. I feel very safe. And the vehicle itself, Endeavour, is performing very well. We've had no problems with it or any of the payloads we're carrying.
So you're there as an astronaut, not as an experimental scientist?
I'm here as both.
Andy Thomas, Andy Thomas, a mission specialist on the spaceship Endeavour.
ABC Radio, this is Houston. That concludes the event.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Andy. We'd like to watch the whole thing, and worked out real well. We'll be leaving you on the Space Hab now.
Okay, so long.
Chris, we can give you some more live on the middeck if you can take it.
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go to the middeck.
Okay, we have Mario and Kurt.
and views now on the mid-deck of the orbiter, following Andy Thomas taking part in an interview with three different media groups down in Australia, Andy Thomas's home. The interview occurring at about 6 in the evening, Friday, in Australia. The mid-deck of the orbiter serving as living quarters for the crew, along with some experiment work. Commander John Casper in the foreground with
O2 Tank 5, and we'd like a switch throw on A11, please.
Go ahead, Chris.
Roger, Kurt, we've lost the video now with the change, so we have no longer a video from the mid-deck.